Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to Ladies Leadership Circle in partnership with Phoenix Business Radio, where we are live from the Business Radio X studio in the East Valley and brought to you by the women who lived it. I'm your host, Joanne Holland, along with my co-host, Karen Nowicki, and we have another amazing woman in the studio today, Jane Spicer of Daphne's Head Covers. Jane, welcome, and I'm just going to ask you to begin by introducing yourself.
Well, thank you very much, both of you, for having me. As Joanne said, I'm Jane Spicer. I'm the CEO of Daphne's Head Covers. Daphne's Head Covers is the original animal head cover company. So we make the golf club covers that you see on Tiger Woods' bag, Dustin Johnson, and over 200 touring pros throughout the world.
I've got to tell you, I've been looking forward to this segment since Joanne and I, when Joanne was first on our show over a year ago, you're one of those women that she said, we've got to get Jane on. Her story is fascinating. So this has been a long-awaited segment. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
And Jane, I'd love for to start out because not only are you an entrepreneur now, but you actually started when you were 10 years old. And the business that you own today, you started when you were 16.
Correct.
So share with us how. How did this happen?
Well, when I was 10, I asked my mom, Daphne, who's now the company's namesake, for a sailboat. And she said, think of a business and earn it yourself. So with her help, I started making stuffed toys and selling them to friends and neighbors. And I sold enough and bought a little 16-foot sailboat. And then I discovered I really liked making my own money. And so the toys morphed into puppets. And I started selling them at arts and craft shows on the weekend. And soon I was selling so many, I had to bring my little sailboat and carry the inventory in it.
Oh, perfect.
And then at one of the shows, somebody came to my mom and said, why don't you make golf club covers? And so she bribed me, and I was almost 16. And she said, do you want a car? And I said, yeah, I do, Mom. And she said, well, I tell you what, if you sell enough of these, I'll buy you a car. And I was in. I was so in. I wanted a car.
And it was a natural progression from stuffed animals, it seems like, right?
Right,
these fun head covers.
Absolutely. So we went to the Goodwill and bought a patent leather hat case.
Okay, let's remember this. Goodwill.
Yeah.
So it doesn't take money. It's not about this. It's about...
It was just the dream.
Ingenuity. Yep. Yeah.
And so I made enough samples to fit in the case, and I talked my way into the Arizona Biltmore, and the director of golf was very, very nice. And I gave him my first just really horrible, horrible sales pitch. And he bought for me, and Daphne's Head Covers was born, and that was 39 years ago.
Oh my gosh.
Born here in Arizona.
Fascinating. So the sailboat story is an Arizona story as well.
Absolutely. We used to sail it on Lake Pleasant when it was two little lakes, more like two ponds. There was an upper and lower Lake Pleasant and Lynx Lake in Prescott. So yeah, it's an Arizona story, and I thought that was the most beautiful boat I'd ever seen. You know, I looked through newspapers, and I was a doctor who bought it, took his wife out sailing, didn't know how to sail, nearly killed her, endangered their marriage, and he had to put it on the market.
And that became your boat?
Yeah.
At 10.
Yeah.
So I have an 11-year-old. I have two that are in their 20s. They're already out of the house now, and my son has that entrepreneur, actually all three kids have that entrepreneurial spirit in them, and my husband and I own our own businesses, so it makes sense that we encourage it. I love that your mom did that. Like, if you want this bad enough, find a way to make this happen.
Well, it's just like we say, too, as women, if it's important enough, you find the time to do it.
Oh, absolutely.
And the way, right?
Yes. Right. So it's just a matter of priority. Mm. So here you are. You do your great sales pitch to the Biltmore. He buys a number of them. And then you say, what do I do now? What was the next step?
Well, thankfully, this wonderful man at the Arizona Biltmore had said, you know, I'm going to give you some sales tips, and I'm going to send you to two other people, but you've got to practice because your sales pitch is so bad. It's so bad. And he gave me some pointers and said, go home for a week and practice. But I thought, I have a new improved sales pitch. I don't need to practice. So I practiced all the way to the next account, who was brutal. Brutal. I didn't have an appointment. I didn't have a business card. I wasn't prepared.
Were you cold calling?
I was cold calling. Yeah. And I had to talk my way in because as a 16-year-old, when you say you're a sales rep, they don't let you in. So I had to figure out where the director of golf's office was and sneak in there, which I did.
And then got a beating.
Oh, it was bad. But he said, you don't even have the head cover I want. I said, well, if you order a dozen,
I'll make it.
So he said he wanted a camel. I said, no problem. And I had no idea if we could do it. But I got an order from him. And then he sent me on to somebody else. And then I was like, this is awesome. So then it was just, I would go out to golf shops and bit by bit, I learned, you know, kind of put together a catalog, which I basically took photographs, printed them out, and glued them on a piece of paper.
You don't have to keep bringing the hat box with you any longer?
No, I brought it because those were our samples.
Still did. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then I would just go out, but it wasn't, you know, it wasn't glamorous. My business cards were, you know, I printed them on the cheapest piece of paper and then took them to school and asked the teacher if I could use the paper cutter to cut them.
Right.
You know, and just kept on going
out.
And
there's the ingenuity.
Yeah.
It wasn't about buying.
No.
Again, everything she's talking about, because I just get so frustrated when I hear women wanting to start businesses and they think it's all about throwing all this money.
No, I had no money to throw.
Right.
I just needed to, go and succeed. Mm-hmm. And so I just needed to get a sale and get another sale. So I would just drive and go into every golf shop. And the good thing was ignorance was bliss because I didn't realize all the faux pas that I was making. So I just
kept on going.
They were
being pointed out to you as you went along.
Yeah. But you were a kid.
Yeah, I was a kid. And so I'd just go and they'd kick me out and I would go, or they wouldn't let me on property and I'd go around to the back of the resort and park at the kitchen.
Where the employees park.
Yep. And then I'd walk through and I'd say hi to everybody and they thought I was somebody's kid. Yeah. So, hi, how are you? Hi, how are you? And then I'd walk the resort until I found the golf shop and I'd walk my way in and then I'd sell to them.
Good for you.
Yeah.
And then, so you're doing well.
Yeah.
Speed forward.
I bought the car.
Yep.
Little bright red Volkswagen Bug. So that was awesome. And then I kept on doing it in high school. I was like, this is pretty cool. And then I went to college and basically did it for beer money. I mean, quite frankly,
sure.
You know, I was like, I need a little money. And my mom would say, well, you have your allowance. And I go, well, I spent that. Well, what are you going to do about it? And then when I got out of college, I got a real job. And nobody worked. They said,
what was a real job to you? And again, don't name company,
No. It was doing graphic design. I studied art in school, so it was doing graphic design for a sport company. And I went in one day, and it was a huge turning point for me, and I asked all my coworkers, you know, hi, how are you? And a coworker looked at me and went, I'm fine, for a Monday. And I said,
is there a difference?
I don't get it.
Yeah.
I don't get it. What if they didn't name the days of the week? And she stared at me, and everybody else in the break room stared at me, and I said, well, it's a brand new day. We have a whole week to kill.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? I mean, this is a week and we're here and we have jobs. And they looked at me like I was nuts. So on my lunch break, I called my mom and I said, I don't think I fit.
Yeah.
I don't think I fit. They're at the getting coffee. They're at the drinking fountain. They're not
whining and complaining.
Yeah. I don't understand. So I sold my car and I bought a cargo van with two seats and an AM radio. And I went on the road for 6 years and I sold the puppets at arts and craft shows all over from Austin to San Francisco. That allowed me to get the cash to do the raw material for the head covers. And while I was on the road, I could stop at golf courses and build up the business.
And we're talking well before internet was it where you could have a...
Well, what internet?
Right. Yeah. Right. No. There was no, you know, hey, let me just set up this e-commerce site.
This was my pager.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It was just going. So I worked
6 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I was every weekend, I was at a different city. I'd wake up. I never knew where I was, you know, and I'd be, you know, as I said, in Austin or San Francisco or wherever, anywhere in between. And then I would just use AAA had these things called triptychs that had like put your directions on. And they, I would say, make sure mine has bathrooms and golf courses.
That's all I need.
So, and then I would hit as, you know, as many bathrooms or golf courses that I needed on the way to get accounts. And after 6 years, I had enough business that I could come off the road.
When you set out to do that, had you thought it would take 6 years? Did you know, okay, I'm going to give this a year and then a year in, I'm going to give this another year. Like, can you take us back to that thinking when you knew that the cubicle, I'm going to pretend it was a cubicle,
right,
but
yeah,
that was not your environment and you made this commitment. How long did you anticipate that you'd have to do this? Or did you even know or care?
I thought everything would take 2 years.
Okay.
And I was off on everything, you know,
six years sounds about right, doesn't it?
So, but it was the greatest time for me. The education that I got on the street selling at arts and craft shows was like getting my MBA. People leave their inhibitions when they go to an art show. They're having a great time. So I had to deal with every kind of person in sales. You know, I'm counting money rapidly, watching for my safety. I'm setting up in different ways. Each, you know, Palo Alto is extraordinarily different than Tucson, Arizona.
Making that shift as you entered different environments.
Absolutely. And the logistics of booking ahead and getting there and making sure I could get there. It was.
And it was you.
It was me.
That's what I was going to ask.
Was there
a partner in your pocket or somebody who tended to do this journey with you for the 6 years, or was it primarily or solely you?
Primarily me. Yeah.
Fascinating.
Yeah. And a call home to mom.
Yeah. Oh, I called home, payphones.
Yep.
Right, you know. Right. Let's take us back.
Yeah. I'd call from payphones and say, this is where I am and, you know, I'm coming back or this is what I'm doing. And
all along, Daphne is. Where is she at with this? She's thinking it's the right thing for you, or is she skeptical?
Totally, completely, amazingly supportive. So she's at home. She's doing, by then, you know, we're working together because I built enough business. So she's
sewing these many.
Sewing, and she's organizing the sewers that I have.
She's part of the business.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah. Well, she was the best part. Everything that's great about Daphne's, my mom did. And I just followed, you know, in her footsteps and took her direction and just worked super hard. And I realized I worked for the goals, but also there was nothing better than I'd go out and sell and come back. She was highly spirited. And Joanne, you know me, I'm quite energetic. So imagine
that's
times
why your children
three.
Don't like us.
Yeah, yeah.
But we're okay with
it's
that.
It's okay. Yeah. The celebration that she would have when I would come, you know, like I'd call her from a payphone and go, Mom, I got this account. I'd come down the street and she would wave, not with one hand, but two hands and a leg. I mean, there are many times when I saw her fall over in the front yard with sheer
with excitement.
Joy. Yeah. So that was it. And she never cared when I failed. She was like, well, so what?
Go ask somebody else.
Yeah, go ask. You didn't fail. You didn't have their sale this morning. You still don't have it. Who cares?
And did she have an entrepreneurial background herself or just this love for creative creation?
She was really kind of a Renaissance woman. She had she was British and grew up in a very affluent family in England and really left to kind of live her own life and not be in that social status, kind of do her own thing. Wildly creative. So she loved anything that was entrepreneurial, you know, and my grandmother said the first sentence that my mom ever said was, I'll do it myself.
That's a great sentence.
Isn't that a great sentence?
That's a great sentence.
Yeah, so fierce independence runs in my family.
Yeah, clearly.
Yeah.
Okay, so you've got it now where you've stopped the traveling.
Yeah.
It's 6 years later. Now where are you at?
Now I'm selling. I'd come home. I was married. So we made a plan. My mom and I planned everything. And I said, well, gosh, I'm off the road. I really, really want to have a kid. Let's figure this out. So I bought her out of the company. And she said, I'm going to be your consultant and your babysitter. And then you'll come in every morning, have a cup of coffee. We'll consult about what you're doing and go run your company. So I did that. And we planned my pregnancy around the PGA trade shows and things because I didn't have time to take off because there was no time. And 5 months into it, my mom had a seizure and was diagnosed with a brain tumor. So 20 months later, she was gone.
Oh.
So I had a newborn on my hip. Business partner, you know, my everything, mentor, best friend, gone. Business was thriving and I had to figure it out. And it was awful.
Oh, I can imagine.
It was absolutely awful. Like, why am I doing this? The phone wouldn't stop ringing. Of course, my son also wanted to eat.
Yeah.
That
everything
thing.
You had worked for was there. The momentum was there. But the passion, the purpose, it sounds like you were questioning it.
Yeah, I just didn't know how I could do it. I mean, how do you run a company and an entrepreneurial company? You're not sitting at a beautiful desk. You're wearing 75 hats at once. Mm-hmm. And how do I do it with an infant on my hip? And I didn't want to find a sitter. I didn't want to replace my mom. And he, quite frankly, was my saving grace. I don't think I would have gone on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was just like, how can I? So having him there, so he slept on my factory floor and, you know, was there.
And loved it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So speed up now. You're doing great. And this golfer, what a name, Tiger. Hello.
Yeah.
What kind of cover does he want? What kind of cover is he? I wonder.
So he reaches out?
No, so, it's Tiger's mom bought the first Tiger from Big Canyon Country Club in Newport where the Woods family belonged. And I had heard that there was an up and coming golfer. And I'd heard that he had our head cover on, but you know, I'm juggling absolutely everything. So I heard those things, but it was like,
that's nice.
Yeah. I was like, yay, good. Yeah. I just need more hours in the day and more wherewithal.
Right.
And then I got a phone call one day and somebody said, well, we are working with Tiger Woods and we would like to buy 30,000 head covers and we'd like to pay you more than you charge for them because we want a premium price. And, you know, I was in that totally exhausted, bereft stage. And I said, okay, send me 50% up front and hung up. And because I just thought, you know, there's a bunch of Lulus that call with head covers.
Right, but let me see if they're serious.
Yeah,
and
whatever.
So, this is how we're going to do it. Yep.
You know, I don't have time. And then FedEx came the next day and I opened the FedEx envelope up. And there was the biggest check I'd ever seen in my life.
Oh my gosh.
And I looked at it.
Goosebumps.
Yeah, and I held it up to the light, like you can see if it's good or not.
That was legit. Yeah, like a dollar.
Where's that
bill.
Marker that, yeah, you know, the bills?
Right. Is, like, real? Is this real? Is this not real? I counted the zeros forwards and I counted them backwards with one eye shut because I see better out of one eye than the other. Is this really? Oh my God. And then so I ran into the back, and at that point the business was in a house. So I did my file cabinets were in the bathtub and the fax machine was in the kitchen. Then I had a warehouse where we were producing, and I ran into the back and there were three steps going up to it, and I was holding the FedEx envelope and I tripped on the top step, fell down the other side, clutching the envelope. So the envelope was fine. Yeah.
You were battered and bruised.
Yeah, her whole body's ripped
check,
apart.
I'm totally ripped apart. Knees, everything, just all cut up and filthy. And my staff heard the commotion. They came out and I'm laying, you know, sitting on the floor bloody going, you're not going to believe this. We got to get busy. We have got to get busy. And it was just a crazy time. And we somehow managed to do it. But it was, and at that point, my son started sleeping on the factory floor because I didn't have time to go home.
Right, you were working around
this
the clock.
This was home.
Yeah, this was home. And right. I just bought another building, so we were trying to move, so I couldn't actually start production. All sewing machines were shrink-wrapped, ready to move.
Mm-hmm.
So we moved, and then I just, I just lived there. And I lived off, and this is, you know, when you think about your brain power, I lived off carrot juice and espresso. Because I figured carrot juice gave me the beta carotene and I was getting my vegetables and espresso. Lord knows I needed more caffeine.
Yes.
Yeah. We can, to make us higher than we already are, right?
Exactly. Like I needed to be pushed even. So yeah. And my son slept on the factory floor.
Wow.
And when he'd go to bed, I'd work 8 more hours because it gave me the space and time to work.
And then from the business perspective. So obviously very smart businesswoman in the fact of the importance of understanding of trademarking and making sure that this couldn't be copied.
Well, I was curious about that. So hopefully this is a piece of what you're asking.
Right.
When this company calls and says, we need these, you know, we'd love these many head covers, they were going to sell. Had you thought about that before, that maybe somebody else would want to buy them and sell them under a different name? Is that how that worked? And does that relate to Joanne's question about trademarking?
Sort of. Yeah. The head covers can be copyrighted. They're not, names and things can be trademarked. So Daphne's head covers is trademarked. Each of my individual designs is in a copyright and it's not held by the company. It's held by me.
Got it.
Copyrights are kind of interesting. They're sort of Wild Westy. So a copyright is good until 50 years after somebody's dead.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody wants to knock you off for it, and then mine are willed to my children. So you'd have to knock me off, wait 50 years, knock my kids off, wait 50 years.
Smart. So,
but again,
businesswoman.
That's what I just want to say. Yeah. That's my point in this part of the conversation. Not only was it about her will and the understanding what she knew, you have to be, and it's like what we talked about in the last segment, educated to understand. Because let me just tell you, had she not been a smart, business savvy woman, this would have imploded.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I got a conversation. I had a phone call that I was still think about and I feel sick about. It was a huge golf company. And they came and they said, you know what, Tiger Woods plays for us. We own Tiger. We own your head cover.
Yeah.
And this was a big conference and everybody had great titles and they were so impressive. And they were talking around the room, lead counsel this, lead counsel that. And all I was thinking was, oh no.
But
oh,
they
no.
could have. Had you not been savvy enough, they could have convinced you that they were bigger, smarter.
Yeah.
This is Samson and Goliath.
Right. Wow. Oh, absolutely. And in fact, I actually said that. I said, you have to call my attorney and see. And they said, we really don't need to. And I said, you do. And I said, and if you don't, if you take this, and the Tiger design, I'll tell you in a little bit, is extra personal to me, extra personal. I said, I will let all the media know everybody, because I'm a teeny tiny company and you're huge, about this conversation. What you said,
I'll
and
be
what
on
you've
the
done.
Cover of Forbes in time, yeah. Not you.
Said, I will let everybody know and I will shout it to the highest corners. Mm-hmm. So you can call. I'd love to work with you. Please, may I work with you? But this is my design.
This is how
please
we're
gonna, call this my attorney.
Yeah.
So.
And so you really did have an attorney at the time.
I did.
Yes.
I did, luckily. Yeah.
And if she hadn't, she was just pretending like she did.
Which I've done
this
in the past.
This is bullying.
Yeah.
This is right. Business bullying is the word I keep hearing myself say as you're chatting, right? They were just trying to muscle their way into because they thought they could.
Yeah.
And did they also see then the, not only the significance and the impact that your head covers could have, and they wanted a piece of that. They wanted to take it away from you.
Well, yeah, I think, yeah, it was interesting because then they sent me, and this was really fun. I still have the photographs. They said, we're going to send you something. And I had to sign all these top secret agreements. And then I got envelopes that were all marked top secret. And I got them and I went in my office and I shut the door.
And I made sure they weren't ticking.
Right, right. Yeah, I was like, what is this? And I opened it up. What they sent me that was top secret was the picture of my head cover.
What?
And I went, what? I made this. This is, I know.
What?
I know that because it is.
What was the point?
Well, Tiger's mom.
Remember, these were the employees that sit around the water cooler and talk. And
yeah.
Let's remember where the story started.
And it's Tiger's mom embroiders on the back of each head cover in Thai, love from mom, which I love. And so there were pictures, the close-up of that. Now, Mrs. Woods does that on each individual one, which I think is really beautiful.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Really beautiful. So it was a picture of my tiger in a variety of angles with her embroidery on it. Well, I'd seen all. I knew.
Already knew that.
I made them.
Yeah.
So it was the first and only top secret envelope I've ever gotten, which was super cool. But it had a picture.
Time, at the same kind of time. A letdown.
It was like,
there's something else in here.
Yeah. Oh, this is it? Yeah.
Interesting.
I know about this tiger. So, yeah.
Is that the significant piece around this particular head cover? Is
no,
there more to
that? The tiger is my mom's design.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
And it was Daphne.
It was Daphne's. Completely hers. And I've changed all the designs over the years. They've morphed as I've gotten better and done things. And this one I've never touched. And I won't do another tiger. It was hers.
And I love that Tiger's mom has touched it as well.
Yes, I do too. So it just meant so much. So it was like, you're not just messing with me. You're messing with my mom, you know, and nobody messes with my mom.
Right.
So I had so much strength there. But I will tell you, when I hung up the phone, and this has only ever happened to me once, I sat there and I kind of pulled my knees up to my chest. And then I just fell off my chair and laid on the floor going, oh, just breathing, going, oh my God, that was so scary. They can't have my tiger. They can't have my tiger. Then I had to call my attorney and go, no, be tough.
Please
They're
tell me
you
that they
tough.
Can't have my tiger.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Because, but again, knowing the smart business savviness in you was that this can't be right.
Right.
This can't be right. There's
and
something.
Trusting that instinct, right? Trusting your gut that says,
Yeah.
You know, or if this is how it works, there's something else that needs to happen here.
Right.
Whether they buy it out, which would probably be a lot more zeros than they ever dreamt of before the decimal point.
Oh, absolutely.
And things. So that gets worked out, right?
Yeah.
And you keep.
We become their producer of tigers. So we're producing them.
Excellent.
We took down Goliath.
Excellent.
It was great. Long-term relationship with them. And then it's continued with all the different companies that Tigers worked with. And the Woods family have been wonderfully supportive and kind, you know, and it's just been a wonderful long-term relationship.
And about how long ago, because I can't think of how long it's been that he's been around and he's been a celeb for us in the golf world. That's been a good 15
gosh.
Years?
No.
Oh, no,
longer,
no, no.
Please.
More than that. He
started golfing, in his teens?
Yeah, he started when he was 13. Mm-hmm. He's been carrying the head cover since then. And I'll get this wrong, and I always do. And then I hear comments, people going, Jane, you got it wrong. But he won the Masters the first time in 96 or 97.
Okay. Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And so, you know, with that, and it's up to you if you want to share, what is going on personally in your life? You've had another child.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've had another child. Business was growing, juggling. I really thought that, you know, my mom and I were sailors, which is why I bought the first boat. So we had a sailboat in San Diego and called Spirit of Daphne. So we were living there and I just really thought things were fabulous. And I had just an instinct. When you build a company, it's like having another child. You can feel things at a gut level. And if you are honest and you listen, you know. And I knew something was wrong with my company and I couldn't figure it out. I mean, we're the number one selling head cover in the world. But
let's remember that.
Yeah.
Remember, in the world.
In the world. And I could sense something. Something was wrong. What was going on? What was it? I couldn't figure it out. And, you know, I'd ask my partner for some paperwork and I'd get some and I was busy and kind of going back and forth. And then, you know, I had a couple of people in my circle going, you are working nonstop. You know, what's happening here? So I hired a business consultant and said, come in. I can't even specifically tell you why I'm hiring you other than I have a bit of a stomach ache and I need you to look at everything in my business. I gave
and
you carte
literally
blanche.
Had no clue at this point. I don't even know what I'm asking, but right now this is that gut instinct.
There was a gut,
something's
and
not
it wouldn't
right.
go away. And I was feeling sick to the point, and I was very, very tired because I was working so much. I was feeling sick to the point that I'd gone to a doctor and she was like, you know, you're really healthy. Then I went to a naturopath and she's like, you're really healthy. And I was like, there's something
energetically shifting
wrong.
Here.
Yeah, there's something. And the business advisor came to me and he said, you thought something was wrong with your company? Something's really wrong with your company. You're in serious trouble. It's like, how can I be in serious trouble? We're selling like crazy. These things are going on.
We are number one around the world.
And he said, well, your business partner isn't handling things in accordance with your agreements. And I said, well,
what does that mean? Yeah.
Yeah. What does that mean? And so I had some really, really big decisions to make. And I thought, well, this has been a great gig. I could walk away. And then I thought, I can't let it go this way. I can't dishonor my mom or the vision that I've given my children, you know? And so I was really having a pity party at home. And one of my childhood friends, we've been friends since fifth grade, called me. She goes, Janie, I think you have two choices. You can either look and say, this is what I should have done when you look back on your life, or you can say, this is what I did. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do? And she hung up on me. And I'm just curled up in a ball crying, going,
how did I get here?
Yeah.
How did I get here? Because again, the smart, business savvy woman.
Right. I would imagine you're thinking, how did I land here if I am as smart and as savvy as
That's
I am?
Right. I questioned everything.
Absolutely.
And then if I wanted to bring it back, did I have the strength? Because I had missed this. How did I allow it to happen? And I decided, I thought for a little bit and I went, I'm fighting. I'm going to do everything I can. And I marched into that business advisor and I said, I'm bringing it back. And I don't know how. And he goes, well, it's going to take a miracle. And I go, well, okay. So we got a group of people together and it was, you know, a business advisor, my financial advisor, my CPA. I brought my best friend for, you know, just for support. And they said, you have a 50-50 shot at best. And I said, give me 6 months. You know, and I'm talking to him with tears streaming down my face. And I said, give me 6 months. And we got to the car. And my best friend said, how are you going to do it? I said, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't have any idea, but I'm going to give it a shot. And so then I went to work. I fired my business partner and I divorced him.
That's who it was.
Get out.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
So betrayed on both levels.
Every level.
Oh.
I want to hold Karen up right now. Yeah. That's why I purposely, I knew who it was, but I knew when you would say, yeah.
And I said, let's do this.
Yeah.
Let's do this. And so I did. And I just worked and I surrounded myself by amazing people. Mm-hmm. You know, my two closest friends were just right there to punch me in between the eyes if I needed it and hold me up if I needed it. My business advisor was amazing. And I worked many, 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 many hours and brought the company back around. I had to spend days on the phone talking to vendors who hadn't been paid and who'd been lied to and said, you know what, I'm at the helm.
Clean up that reputation.
I'm so sorry. Mm-hmm. Will you work with me? And every single vendor said, if it's you,
yes,
hands down,
we'll work with you. And they were so kind. They gave me extended terms. They talked to me. You know, what do you need? Same with my factory who said, I'll never work with you again. You owe us a ton of money. Factory flew in from overseas and said, how do we help? You must promise me it's only you.
Yeah.
And so I said, okay. You know, and I was so grateful. So they empowered me because when they said, well, we believe in you, I wasn't sure if I believed in me then.
But we didn't say that out loud.
I never said it out loud.
Right.
I just want to make sure the listeners know that again, we don't say that out loud. That's an internal voice because it's so important because the minute you let that out, that's what you'll get. That's what the universe will serve you.
Right.
So you can feel it and you can, but don't make it life. Don't give it life. Mm-hmm.
I never gave it life. And I had very clear intentions and I would write them in the steam on the shower.
I do the same thing all the time.
And there's sticky notes everywhere. Yes. Yeah. And on weekdays, I wrote them on days that I was weak. I would write them on my hand so I remembered. Yep. And I would, you know, I would drive to work saying, I am strong, I am capable, good, right. I am the entire way there.
Yep.
The entire way
yep.
there.
Familiar.
And mm-hmm. hiking, I would do the same thing. I would start. And many times I'd call my best friend and say, we're going to hike and you can't talk. I need you here with me. Don't talk to me. And I would, and she honored it, would never say a word. And then I would just start with my I ams and we would hike. And we hike far and
miles and miles.
Miles and miles. And I would just, it was like, universe, here I am.
Beautiful.
Hear me. And just worked and worked and worked. And life at Daphne's Headcovers is really, really good now.
Oh my goodness. What? And I know just based on the little highlights that Joanna shared with me, I know there's other challenges, of course, and everybody, but you, these are not small challenges. There was a point when our economy tanked, right? And, yeah. and you were faced with.
How many employees did you have at the time?
75 at the time. I now do more business with 14 employees.
Wow.
Can you believe that?
I do more business and we're more profitable. We're cross-trained. I have wonderful people. My production manager has been with me for 30 years. My office manager, 17 years. Like, everybody, let's dive in. You know, and they were a big part of me saving Daphne's. I said, if you
they
want to stay.
Too.
Yeah, they mm-hmm. wanted it. And I had probably the hardest business conversation I ever had was I went in and I had to tell them that I had to cut their salaries. And they hadn't done anything. And in many cases, they'd been doing what they'd been told to do. And this was horrible. And I went in and I spoke to them and I was shaking so badly. And I always wear dresses and I thought, they're going to see this. I can't show how scared I am. So I wore kind of baggy pants and a long sleeve shirt. And
which they, right they there should have been the clue. Say,
they
number
something
one.
Different.
Yeah, I was like, what happened here?
Yeah.
And I said, you know, we have to bring Daphne's back and I have to cut your salary. I've cut mine 50%. I'm cutting all yours.
That's the key, right?
Yeah.
I'm also cutting mine.
Right. Yeah. And I cut mine was the biggest cut. Of
yes.
course. Of course
right.
it had to be. And I gave them 48 hours and I said, if you leave, I'll release you with love and I'll write you the best recommendation letter on the planet. But if you'll stay, I'm going to ask you to go toe to toe with me and bring Daphne's Headcovers back. And not one of them left.
Yeah. Everybody stayed.
Everybody stayed. And
beautiful.
We went to work. And, you know, salespeople unloaded containers. Packing and shipping people were in production. We all did whatever it took, whenever it, and we talked and we talked and we rebuilt it. And, you know,
wow.
so it was a team effort.
Well, and I hate to say, but to use the word, it was a blessing.
It was a blessing.
So what you have to remember is that some people at the darkest moments or where you think it's failure or when you think it's not, it's actually your step to success. It's actually your next, you're raising that level or going to the next
it's
bar.
It's the threshold, isn't it?
Right.
What your girlfriend said to you before she hung up, you're either going to
look back on your life and say, I should have, or you're going to look back on your life and say, this is what I did.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
And I think that comes with every major decision or challenge and hurdle that we're faced with, we get a choice. How am I going to show up in this?
Right, right. And so I had to show up super strong when I was shaking in my boots. I had to show up super intelligent when I was doubting every thought. But, you know, it was by far the most horrendous thing that I've gone through. And it was really hard on my children. And I look at it now and I'm grateful. Mm-hmm. I am so much better. I found who I really am. You know, I found out what I could really do. My children are thriving. They went through. We all need, you know, we all need tough times. And not that I ever want to
wish we don't repeat them. Yeah. Hello.
Yeah, I don't
live through that.
Them.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. We're done.
But they're resilient. And we stuck together and we talked and we figured it out and we fought and we didn't talk to each other. And then we talked again. And, you know, and we're wonderfully close. They're thriving. They see, I was able to really model who I am. And what I could do, you know, and it's pretty cool. My son is really tall. He's about 6'4" and he's a big, fit guy. And we were in Europe this summer and he put his arm around me and he goes, cause they lost me in the crowd. And so I was hiding behind them, just messing with him.
Right.
And he said, you know, for somebody so small, you're so strong and you're
That's
so
great and
so,
compliment.
Which was huge where he could see it, you know, and they both see that. And, you know, how do you keep on getting up every day? And I said, well, I had you too. How could I not? How could I not fight for what I'd promised you? College educations and all those dreams. How could I say, you know what? This was rough. Figure it out
let's
yourself.
Give let's
yeah,
give up.
Yeah,
you know,
no.
I'll go back to corporate America.
Yeah, no
I
way.
Right.
Yeah.
Your kids never had the opportunity to get to know your mom, right? Because he was born after.
Yeah, he was born.
Ugh.
Now my mom, My mom died the day before Jack turned 18 months. So there's pictures together, but he doesn't have any memory.
Right.
And
but she got to have the joy of getting
interesting. Which was
interesting.
Huge, which was yeah. huge. And then she never met Sarah, which is interesting because Sarah has so much of my mom in her. It's fascinating to raise somebody who behaves like somebody who raised me.
Isn't that fascinating?
It can be really trippy at times. Mm-hmm. And I go, you're channeling your grandmother. Mother. I don't have the tools to deal with this right now.
Right.
But oh she's gosh. Great. She's a delight. So...
Fascinating story.
Yeah. And definitely just like, it's so funny because when I talked to her just at a Central Phoenix Women meeting a few months ago, she goes, could you tell my mom that? Would you tell my mom that? I'm like, no, because it's the same conversation my child had with somebody else who said, would you tell my mom that?
Yeah.
And I love that because we recognize that that's the way your kids grow.
Yes.
And that's the way they, you know, get it out or, you know, like they tell me right now, mom, you're not my favorite person.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay.
Yeah, that's okay.
That's great.
That's okay.
I can remember I had gone through a divorce years ago and I was probably 2 years into building a life for myself and my daughter. And I was at the time working on, you know, being a coach and a consultant and not drawing a paycheck from a school district any longer. And my daughter was so angry with me because we were, you know, really scrimping and scraping.
Right.
And my daughter said, why can't you be like everybody else and just go get a job? She says to me, and at first I was offended. And I said to her, you know what? I don't know how to go do that. Like, I am so passionate about figuring this out for us as a family. And for me as an individual, I could go do that, but it's not in my being to sell out. And now both of my kiddos, my older two, have that entrepreneur spirit.
Yeah.
And you'll love this. I don't think I've shared it with Joanne. We've talked about our kids quite a bit as we've gotten to know each other. I've not always been my daughter's favorite person, right? She's
right.
always been my tough
Yay,
cookie.
I always cheer on people. Like, I'm like, you're doing your job then.
Yeah. Shortly after I spoke at one of your groups and my daughter came with me, I got a private message on Facebook from her. And it was one of those sweet, like, you know, open letter to mom thing where she was just, it wasn't her words, but she'd copied from somebody else finally saying, you know, I've watched you and I know who you are and I am why I am today. And it was
Aww.
Just, and I couldn't help but show my husband, I'm like, yay, finally at 22 years old, she, you know, finally sees the value. And we've talked about that several times before. When we can stand in the power and uniqueness of who we are and the resilience piece, I don't think we can we can't overemphasize the importance of resilience that we need to instill in our kids, because what is life without being resilient?
It's nothing.
You get up.
Over and
that's
over
it.
Again. Yeah.
Yeah, over and over and over again.
I talked to them about grit and resilience, and gosh, that was really hard, and you got through it. Good for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, the next time it happens, that's easy. You know, you keep on having...
Well, even today, yesterday, it's so funny, because... my middle one just got her job, you know, after grad school and everything like that. And she made a point to tell my husband, no, tell mom that I'm filling out all my paperwork. Like, it was the message to send to me.
Yeah.
To say, and it was like, okay. So growing up and getting it and doing it. And, you know, Jane, with the success that you've had as Daphne's Head Covers is a leader, obviously, in the golfing industry, which can be considered an elite sport. Right?
Right.
And what did you do to place your company in the space? What do you think, was it your passion? Was it your love? Was it your tenacity? I mean, was it a combination?
Was it flat out, strategic. Like, can you look back and say, here's how we landed here?
No, I can't say here's how we landed here specifically. I am extremely tenacious. So there was a beautiful article written in the PGA magazine. And they were talking about my great marketing. And really and truly, it's just that I initially showed up every day, every single day, no matter what. And business for me is like hiking. I had 1 year I committed to hiking Piestewa Peak every day, no matter what. And I get up some days and I'd run up and down it. And I was fast and I was athletic. And other days I'd get up and I'd look at my shoes and give them a dirty look. You know, and halfway through I'd have to give myself a pep talk. And each day it was different. And days it rained and days it was hot. There was a tour that was screwing up my timing. But I said, I'm going to do this every day no matter what. And that was such a great lesson for me because that's business.
Yes,
you know,
it
some
is.
Days it's fabulous. Some days it's like, why do I want to work this hard?
Right.
You know?
Right. And so now that you occupy a successful space, obviously, you're a leader, what do you do to better yourself and continue to learn?
Oh, a my car is my university. I listen to podcasts on the way to work every single day. And if I'm not listening to a podcast, it's because I found an audiobook that I want to absorb. So I'm doing that constantly. I take classes. If there's anything that I feel like I need to know, I'll dive in and take classes. I interview people all the time. My friends will make fun of me because if there's somebody that's doing something else, well, how do you do that? Well, why did you do that? Well, then they're like, Jane, those aren't always normal questions.
They are for me.
But I'm so curious. Yeah. You know, how did you get there? How did you? And when we were sailing, there'd be across from where we were, there were mega yachts and people would want to be on the yachts for the parties. And I'd try to find the captain and say, I want to talk to the owner. Just tell me their story. I don't want to come to your party.
Right.
You can come on my boat. It's a really, really small one over there. Please tell me your story. How did you get here? You know, just asking those things. But I'm constantly learning. I'm leaving. I think I told you I'm leaving to China on Thursday morning. And I have my biggest fear when I fly is running out of things to read. So I have about 20 books downloaded on my iPad. And then I've got tons of podcasts. And then I've got my new, I'm a geek about planners. So I've got a new planner so I can rewrite out all my goals, make sure I'm really on task. It's the, you know, so we're getting to the last quarter of the year. I want to finish really, really strong. So these really long flights are wonderful.
Yeah. No interruptions.
No interruptions.
Just complete download.
I just focus. And people say, you get on the flight and drink, right? No.
Not me.
You know, you watch a bunch of rom-coms. No, this is my think time. So give me the long flight. I'm ready.
And podcasts. So obviously at the end of the day, Phoenix Business Radio X is a podcast generator. Who are some of your favorite folks that you like to, is there a specific podcast that you follow or?
I follow several. I love Oprah, the Super Soul Conversation.
Oh, yeah. Super Soul
fabulous. Yeah. And I'll just listen to one after the other because there are people that I wouldn't always pick. And so if I go, and that was born of, I dropped my phone in the back of my car on the freeway and I couldn't switch. And so she's talking to somebody. I'm like, well, I don't know if I'm interested in this person. Wow, that was good. And the next.
By default, yeah.
By default. I love Lewis Howes, The School of Greatness.
Yes.
He's got a lot of different things. Rich Roll talks a lot about nutrition and things as an athlete and really being involved in that. I love it. He's a vegan that runs marathons.
Okay.
You know, I'm like, how do you do that? So there's a lot.
Why do you want to do that? Is my But I'm in awe of the people that do it.
Yeah. Like where do you get that power?
Right.
How do you do that? And so it's, you know, I've got business. There's Adam Grant who basically has a tagline, like, how do you not make your work life suck or something? And I love my work life, but how do you create these things? You know?
Yeah. Right. And with that too, what I love too is when Jane hears or sees something, she absorbs it. And one time I was talking at a meeting, talking about a great book I had read and really it was highly impacted by the book. And I mentioned it to Central Phoenix Women. I said, you know, ever looking for something to read, I really, How to Make Your Bed. And it's a great book. Mm. He gave a great commencement speech. And the book is based off the commencement speech that someone after he said the commencement speech said, you know, you should write a book on this. And he's like, what? No, I'm not an author. I'm not a anything. And he went home and told his wife. And she's like, well, yeah, that's exactly what you should do. And it is a bestseller. And it is from a retired admiral.
Navy SEAL.
Navy SEAL.
Yeah.
And so it's so funny. Jane's like, after the meeting, Jane comes up to me. What's the name of that book again? I said, oh, Make Your Bed. And she's like, okay. And like a month later, she goes, away, oh my gosh, my son and I read it together.
Aww.
He read it. I read it. We had this great conversation on it and the thing. And those are the things that I always say, never stop learning.
Never.
Ever.
Never. No. And there's so many interesting people. Talk to them. And I think the biggest conversational skill is listen. Be quiet.
I agree.
So many amazing people out there. Just listen to their stories.
We are very fortunate. Dan, I keep winking at Dan over here, our producer and studio ambassador, our gift from GCU master's program. That's the one thing we talk about after every segment. We just get to sit and listen among the greats here in the Metro Phoenix and Arizona area, folks who've even like Joanne's show, this ladies leadership circle, to hear from those who've gone before us and have led the way. That's really the whole point, to hear what makes you tick. How did this happen? When it was adversity or challenge or stress, how did you handle it? And I'm hearing not only tenacious and grit, but also this insatiable appetite to learn. and to grow and to do that next great thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I always want to know what the next version of Jane looks like.
I'm with you.
Yeah. And it always gets better.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Yes,
absolutely.
I know. It's more fun.
It. Yeah.
You know, you mentioned earlier about writing down your goals and dreams, and I do the same thing, and I'll laugh. This summer, I had found one of the ones I had written down, but I hadn't logged it, what I'll mm-hmm. say, put in my log, and I'm like, oh, my whole thing. I had to find a national sponsor by June 30th, by the thing. Well, I hadn't even gone out to look for a national sponsor. So what did I do? I spent 3 days. Redfin is now a sponsor of Women of Scottsdale.
Yay!
Awesome. Well done. So
as a dessert sponsor or whatever. And
well
so,
done.
But here's my whole point. My whole point was I just need to check that off.
Right. Yes.
Hey, it wasn't about money. It wasn't about, you know, it was keeping that commitment of, wait, I wrote this down. I wrote this down that said I needed to have a national sponsor for, I didn't care which organization, I didn't care for whatever, that by the state. And I had wrote it down, so, and I was like, oh my God. And literally it was like June 1st. I'm like, I was like, okay. So spent the next 3 days, done.
Which is
did it.
Awesome.
And I was like, okay, no more notes. I told God, I'm like, okay, don't let me find any more notes. I'm booked for the summer.
I checked it off list.
Planners. How important do you think writing out your goals and dreams and then setting a course to follow them is?
Hugely important. I never, ever, ever miss a year without it. And there's a book that I reread every year. And my son was teasing me going, if you've read it many times, why do you still need to read it?
I want to see the same one I read.
Well, it's Sharon Lecter's Think and Grow Rich for Women.
We had Sharon on a couple weeks ago.
She's amazing.
So I actually read the original Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon.
Well done. I've got that. Yeah. My son reading that now. But yeah, write it down. Absolutely. Yeah. Hold yourself accountable. And you get so busy, you lose track of time. And so if you can go back and go, here's that thing, that sponsorship that I didn't check off, and that's a big deal. Or it's something small. And I want to also be able to look. I don't think much about, I get things done and I keep on going. So one of the things that my business advisor has said is I need to stop and celebrate, which I think is valuable. But when I go through.
I do that really well.
Yeah. Another reason I love you. But you'll look and go, wow, I did all this. And then the next year you're stronger. For me, it's mm-hmm. like, I did all those things. Okay, now I can do this. Now I can build upon it. You know, look at what I did. But you have to be authentic. If you write it down and you're not doing it, you know, and don't write it down if you just think it looks good.
And don't write it down and throw it away.
And do not, yeah, absolutely not.
Which is why you need to keep looking back at it.
You look back at it and you review it and you check, am I on goal? And it's just like sailing. You put waypoints into your chart. And if you don't hit those waypoints, you really, truly don't get to where you're going if you're sailing to an island or something. And I think waypoints in life are hugely important, hugely important.
So what is the best advice you can give entrepreneurs that are starting out?
Entrepreneurs that are starting out are some of my favorite people on the planet.
I know, because they're so green.
Well, they're green and I'm passionate about it. And I see that love in their eyes and in their that drive. I think one thing is writing down your goals. Mm-hmm. You must do that. You've got to be real. So if you want to, and I've had entrepreneurs that I've sent them away. When they have come and they said, this is my dream, this is what I'm doing. Then the next month, this is my dream, this is what I'm doing. The third conversation, I'll say, when you're doing.
Call me.
When you're doing, come back. Mm-hmm. Come back. So actually do, and don't be afraid. I mean, people go, I don't know if somebody would like my service or my idea. Think of me. I make golf club covers, animal golf club covers for a living.
Right.
If I can do it, then you can. So if somebody says your idea is daft, go, I have a friend named Jane. She owns a global company. We're in 75 countries, you know, and I have a husky and a ninja in my in basket. You know, is that crazy? Yeah, but their idea isn't crazy. So believe in their idea and do it. And don't let somebody tell you that you can't, because they
will. If you get thrown out the front door, you swing around to the back door and go through the kitchen.
And you go back in the back door. Yeah, you go back in the back door.
No, and the kitchens are the friendliest people.
They were so kind.
Let me tell you.
Yeah, it was so nice. And I'd come back by and, you know, hi, how are you? Did you see your mama or did you see your dad? I'd say, yes, thank you.
And you'll see me next week too.
Yeah, I'll be back. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and that's, you know, starting out, though, any things that you can say to them that they need to know, like to be smart in what you're doing, to educate yourself to what you're doing. It's great to have the dream and the excitement, but then there's the business part of what you do. Because like you said, had you not been smart business-wise, we wouldn't be here today.
No, no, you have to ask. Business leaders will talk to you. Mm-hmm. You have to be really brave and say, please, would you talk to me? I've got questions. And you have to be vulnerable. You have to say, this is my idea, because the first thing you do when you have an idea is you want to tell everybody about it. And your idea is really great and you want to do all the talking. And then you don't hear. So get in front and say, you know, these are, and when they say very casually, have you thought of, write it down and think about it.
Right.
Write it down and think about it.
Right.
Right.
We already talked about the importance of having the right people around you, mm-hmm. right? You mentioned those critical points in your business that mm-hmm. you had the girlfriends, the business advisor, those sorts of people. Would you say that having a tribe is a big part of, I know you're fiercely independent, mm-hmm. but would you say that having the right tribe and the right people in your life are equally important?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I wouldn't be anywhere without my tribe. My tribe is, they're my soul circle. You know, they are there with me and for me, and I'm there with them and for them all the time. You yep. must have a tribe, the kind of people that love you enough to tell you the hard stuff and love you enough when things aren't pretty, that they'll pick you up, you know. So you've got to have a tribe for their intelligence, for their love, for their support, and for their humor, you know, when they can laugh. And, you know, I've got friends that have been with me the whole way, and they will tell my story with more passion. Because yep. they're so proud. And I look at it and go, wow, that's a pretty cool story. And I'm like, hey, dummy, it's you.
It's you.
Yeah, like, oh, yeah. Oh.
No so, wonder yeah, I like that story.
Yeah, I like that story. But you must have a tribe and yeah. be careful. And your tribes yes. change.
You have mm-hmm. to, they change and you have to be careful around. How did Brittany say it on our last segment?
It was about the bus.
Yeah.
Getting on the bus.
Yeah, make sure that the right people are on the bus. Mm. And if somebody is negative, you can have them get off the bus, and you can also trust, though, that the bus can circle right back around to that bus stop and invite them back on again, as long as they're going to be positive and continue to, you know, impact you in a positive way, they can get back on the bus. Otherwise, mm-hmm. you can, again, show them the door. It was kind of a neat, I've never heard yeah. that metaphor. I know she got it from a book, she said.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree completely, and there's different chapters. You know, the tribe that I needed in college, although I have five of my sorority sisters that we're still very, very close with, and, you know, they're part of my tribe, mm-hmm. but some of them are different, yep. you know, and I'm different. Mm-hmm. And it just happens with grace. Yes. You can outgrow each other and it's okay. And right. I'm fiercely loyal, so I think, oh, I'm not going to see this friend anymore, but you know what, it's okay. So we had a lovely time together, but the time doesn't continue, you know, and I look and I say, Who do I want to be like? Who is this next version mm-hmm. of Jane? Who are these amazing people that I can surround myself with?
Yep.
You know, and then you see if you form a bond and what happens. So I'm constantly seeking and looking and learning. So a tribe is hugely important on all aspects, personally and professionally. And when you get a good tribe, many of it meshes.
Yes, so agreed. You can, it's all. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, even as successful as you are, and something you've mentioned throughout our conversation today, is you chose to get a business consultant.
Yes.
So many people would be surprised, like, Jane, you're successful. Why would you do that? Why would you waste that money? Why would you waste? No. What you, yeah. they, people don't understand is that's an investment.
Yeah.
That's an investment in yourself. That's an investment in your business. That's an investment to take you to the next step, whatever that part of that journey is.
Yeah. Oh, I was chastised for it, you know, and why are you doing this? And why are you spending the money and what's happening? And then, you know, we had meetings. Well, he tells us stuff we don't like to hear. I was like, hello. That's why I'm paying him.
Right.
That's why I'm paying him. We're going to sit in for another really miserable meeting.
Yes.
And then we're going to do everything he says. Right. And we did. So, you know, one of us was doing everything he said and the other one was walking out going, can we fire him? So you just do the hard stuff and they tell you the things that you don't want to hear or you can't see because when you've lived in it, even like your house, you come mm-hmm. in forever and ever and somebody goes, oh, you still have that pillow and you had no idea it was there.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Oh. Yeah. Well, in business, you know, it's beautiful when it works right, but you don't always see things. And when you've been working 24/7 and sleeping in the factory and doing all kinds of different things and
feeling good
things.
Because you know production's going out and it's getting done
great.
Right, everything's wonderful, but it doesn't feel right.
Right. So it's get consultants, get things done, vet them because there's lots of people out
yes.
there.
Oh, yeah, yes.
Lots of people that will tell you what you should do. And usually if you say to me right away, this is what we should do, I know we're not going to be friends. Mm-hmm. But if you say, what do you think about this? I'll go away and think about it. Mm-hmm. And then I'll come back with two questions. And then I'll go away and think about that. And then I'm going to have three. You know, so remaining curious and listening. But that not every consultant is for you. Just like not every
right. Not every doctor is for you.
Not every ice cream flavor is for you.
Not every friend is for you. Right.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So fun.
Yes. And so, Jane, we have a couple minutes left. Is there anything that you'd like to share that we haven't asked you or talked about or said anything that, you know, before? First of all, tell us how to get a hold of Daphne's head covers, because first of all, I love everything about Daphne's head covers. I had the opportunity to go to the LPGA tournament here up at Desert Ridge, at the Marriott Desert Ridge this year. And of course, I sat in the Daphne's head covers grandstand. Fun. And then as every player came by, every time I saw a player with it, I'm like, Daphne's head covers. I shouted it out.
I can't tell you how much I love that.
I'm like, Daphne's head covers. I was like, shouted it out. I'm like, look. And literally, they were like, we were on hole five. So they were literally like 10 feet, maybe 15 feet from where we're sitting or whatever. And everybody in the stand, by the third time I would do that, like, people were starting to clap. Like, when I.
You were the official site.
Because I was like, look at where we're sitting. Look where we are. Look what we're doing.
That deep appreciation for the journey.
Right. And so, and it was great, but is there anything, you know, besides daphnesheadcovers.com, if they want to order anything or buy something fun or golf places?
Yeah, I mean, any of your local golf shops, I'm obviously a huge supporter of local business. So go into your local golf shop and ask for Daphne's. You know, we should be there for sure. Otherwise, you know, go to our website. It's a lot of fun at daphnesheadcovers.com. Or come on Instagram and follow us. I've got an awesome, awesome social media intern who's just doing amazing things on there. So you'll see behind the scenes and all kinds of things that people don't think a head cover company does that we do, you know, with some of our charity work and all kinds of things. So if you want to get a feel for what's happening with a vibrant company that was, you know, born and raised in Phoenix, you know, please come and join us.
Oh, love it.
Yeah. And then one of my favorite head covers is from one of your passions, which is Gabriel's Angels.
Mm.
And Gabriel has his own head cover.
Sweet. Yeah. Gabriel was the founding dog of Weimaraner. And on the anniversary of his death, I made one. This was just a gift from friend to friend. And I made it for the CEO, Pam Gaber, and gave it to her. I probably shouldn't have done it in public.
Because she lost it.
Oh,
sure.
You know, she's holding the exact replica of her dog. And then I started to think about it and thought, I think I can do more. So I started producing them. We now have Gabriel's Angels head covers in 30 countries.
Yeah.
All speaking the word about Daphne's, about Gabriel's Angels, and creating donations. So they're all over just spreading the good word because the work that they do is so good. So that's
incredible.
Thank you for bringing that up. It's absolutely a passion project for me.
Sweet.
No, but thank you for being with us today. I've wanted you in the studio. My first show that I started out, I'm like, oh, I know exactly who I'm going to bring in here. It's been great because there's so much that so many can learn from just listening today, as well as following your story. Because as I've always said, the best is yet to come.
Yes, indeed. I can't even wait to see what the future brings.
Yes. So thank you.
Thank you very much for having me.
Pleasure to meet you.
Yes. Thank you for listening to Ladies Leadership Circle in partnership with Phoenix Business Radio with Business Radio X, as we hope today's show connected, inspired, and lead you to continue to be and do your best. Thank you, Karen Nowicki, and I'm Joanne Holland, and make it a great day.